tonight. God gave us stellar galaxies and the fragile beauty of the snow crystal. And he brought us here tonight. God hung the sun and the moon on invisible hinges, flung the stars way out yonder like chandeliers in their silvery sockets. And he brought us here tonight. Everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord. If you breathe in tonight, you ought to praise God. It was not the alarm clock that woke you up this morning. It was God who touched you with his finger of love. Amen. I want to thank the great God of heaven for giving us traveling grace. He's a God who can renew your strength, make you mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. I want to thank Brother John Branch, the great and faithful servant of the Most High God, at this congregation for this marvelous lectureship, his good wife, the bishops of this great congregation, the co-laborers and workers together who have worked to make this a magnificent lectureship. And we are in prayer for Brother Willie Malone that all will be well. I want to thank the Alabama State Lectureship Committee, Dr. MacArthur Cooper, a.k.a. the Godfather, and Carter Ross Jr. I thought he was my friend, but Brother Steve Clark said, Moss, you ain't got no friends in the pulpit. Praise God. I want to commend these great men of God who are preaching the euangelion, the good news about Jesus Christ. There have been some marvelous presentations of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to thank Brother Williams, who took care of business tonight. And Carter Ross got his preach on tonight. Amen. So we'll give you what we have. Amen. I want to thank and recognize my good friend and my colleague, Brother Samuel White, who is the assistant minister at the Bush Hills Church of Christ, who understands the concept of loyalty. What a friend I have in Sam White. I want to thank him for coming with me. I want to recognize all of these great men of God. But I especially want to recognize tonight Dr. Michael Brown, who is a good friend and a marvelous man of God, to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have your personal copy, world's bestseller, I direct your attention to the book of Romans, the chapters 10, the verses for your thoughtful consideration are verses 1 through 3. You have that? Say amen. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. My assigned topic tonight is zeal and knowledge, the right combination. Zeal and knowledge. Can you say that with me? Zeal and knowledge, the right combination. Can you say it again? Zeal and knowledge, the right combination. Some of the greatest theological minds say that the Roman letter is one of the most profound spiritual documents in the entire world, because one of the greatest minds in the Christian religion, the Apostle Paul, penned this marvelous letter. Paul, with his massive intellect, under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, penned the Roman letter that probes the depth of the scheme of redemption, that deals with the mystery of sin. Paul deals with many profound subjects, and Paul deals with the Jewish question. In Romans chapter 9 through 11, he deals with the issue of Jewish unbelief. But tonight, we're not going to explore that in depth, the issue of Jewish unbelief. We're going to look at and try to exegete and give an analysis of verses 1 through 3. Is that all right? Now, three things I want you to see tonight. Number one, I want you to see zeal without knowledge. Number two, knowledge without zeal. And number three, the right combination. Is that all right? The Apostle Paul let the church at Rome know what was on his mind. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel's that they might be saved. Is that all right? For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but is not according to knowledge. Dr. J.B. Phillips, in the modern translation of the New Testament in English, he captures the essence of what Paul says. He said, brethren, from the bottom of my heart, it is my heart's desire that Israel might be saved. I said, Jesus said men should always pray and not lose heart. Is that all right? First Thessalonians said we ought to pray without ceasing. And one of the greatest things we could pray for is the salvation of men. So Paul prayed for their salvation. But another thing I want you to see tonight, he gave them credit. You know, sometimes as you deal with religious people, you have to give them credit. Is that all right? He said, I testify on their behalf, Brother Clark. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Is that all right? Well, Paul could recognize that because that was a time in his existence, Brother Glasgow. He had a zeal of God, but it was not according to knowledge because it was his mindset to do many things contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ until one day he met the risen Christ on the Damascus Road and the scales fell from his eyes and his personality was reoriented and transformed. And he said, now I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that all right? Well, Paul also gave the Athenians credit. He said, you men of Athens, I perceive that you are very superstitious, or very religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom you therefore ignorantly worship. Him I declare unto you. Nothing wrong with giving people's credit. Recognizing their religiosity as you try to lead them where you want them to go. But zeal without knowledge is not enough. I heard somebody say, he who knows and knows he knows is wise. Follow him. He who knows and knows not that he knows is asleep. Awake him. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. Is that all right? But he who knows not and knows that he knows not is a child. Teach him. It's not enough to have zeal. You got to have knowledge. We need zeal in the church of the living God. God don't want no dead church. God don't want you to be Saturday Night Live and Sunday morning dead. God don't want you giving dead money, praying dead prayers, preaching dead sermons. Jesus said, I wish that you were cold or hot, because you're neither. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Is that all right? So God doesn't want a dead church. But I'm afraid, Brother Dale Maher, that we're more excited about empire than we are about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're more concerned about the Grammys than we are about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're more concerned about the Academy Awards than we are about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're more concerned about March Madness than we are about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that all right? We're more concerned about the Super Bowl than we are about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're more concerned about Super Bowl parties than we are the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I raise the question, where will we get zeal from? We get zeal from the one who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We get zeal from the one who said, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. Is that all right? I get zeal from the one who got up from the grave with the keys of death and hell swinging around his waist and said, I am he that once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Is that all right? I get zeal from the one said, I got the power to be a way maker. I got the power to be a strength giver. I got the power to be a joy bringer. Is that all right? I got the power to be bread in a starving land. I got the power to be water in a thirsty land. Is that all right? I got the power to be everything that you need. We need zeal in the church. Is that all right? And stop going to the movie. Stay in 2 hours, but can't stand 30 minutes of church. We need some zeal. Is that all right? Well, second thing I want you to see is knowledge without zeal. We need the word of God. It's in a class, Dr. Brown, all by itself. Somebody said, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of our God endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Is that all right? The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. It's nothing like the word of God. It's like a seed that germinates. It's like a light that illuminates. It's like a sword that penetrates. It's like water that invigorates. It's like bread that stimulates. Is that all right? It's in a class all by itself. Is that all right? But then he said, notice this. He recognized their mistakes. They made 3 critical mistakes. Number one, they did not have knowledge of the righteousness of God. Well, number two, they tried to establish their own righteousness. And number three, they did not submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Is that all right? I'm telling you today, the same mistake is happening again, Brother Martin. Is that all right? World religions. It's men trying to establish their own righteousness. Denominationalism. Are men trying to establish their own righteousness. The commandments and doctrines of men. It's men trying to establish their own righteousness. Is that all right? In the world, you have Sunnis. You have Shiites. You have New Agers. Is that all right? You have Satanists. You have Shintoists. You have Confucianists. Is that all right? You have agnostics. You have atheists. And men are trying to establish their own righteousness. But I'm so glad tonight there's only one way to be right with God. And that's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Jesus Christ is unique. He's unique in incarnation. He's the world's only God man. He's unique in atonement. He alone has died for the sins of the world. He is unique in resurrection. For he alone has achieved an absolute victory over death. Is that all right? That's why he said, I am the way, not a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Is that all right? But then we must submit to the righteousness of God. Now, some preachers now have gotten so modern that they don't preach Channel 5. But if you want folks saved, you better preach Channel 5. Is that all right? And the only way to be righteous in this world is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the only hope for this world. Well, how do I get saved? No, you don't do it on a mourner's bench. You don't pray a sinner's prayer. But you hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. You believe it, John 3:16. You repent of your sins, Acts 17:30. You confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10. And you are baptized in water for the remission of sin. And at that point, God declares you righteous. You're justified. And justification is so marvelous, it's just like you never sinned. God throws it away. And that's why Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after the gospel plan of salvation. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after the church you can read about in the Bible. Blessed are they who want to be a member of the church that's built on a rock. Blessed are they who want to be a member of a church that's blood-bought. Blessed are they who want to be a member of a church that's spirit-filled. Blessed are they who want to be a member of a church that's hell-proof. Is that all right? And blessed are they who want to be a member of a church that's heaven-filled. Bound. Is that all right? And then finally tonight, finally, the right combination. God has a master plan. Is that all right? God has a master plan. And it's the gospel. The Apostle Paul got so excited about this master plan, Brother Brown. He said, and he launched into a flight of oratorical eloquence. He said, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who have known the mind of the Lord? Or who have been his counselor? Who have first given unto him? And it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, to him, and through him all things. But you don't have to be an astronomer to know that Jesus Christ is the day star of eternal hope. You don't have to be a geologist to know he's the rock of ages. You don't have to be a florist, Bishnu, to know he's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. You don't have to be an electrician to know he's the light of the world. You don't have to be a carpenter to know he's the door of the sheep. You don't have to be a baker to know he's the bread of life. You don't have to be a musician to know he's the harmonizer of all life's discord. Oh, what a plan. Oh, what a plan. The day I said, oh, what a night, but I said, oh, what a plan. What a plan. Is that all right? And I'm coming to a close, but let me tell you this. Some things just go together. Ice cream and cake go together. That's the right combination. Macaroni and cheese go together. That's the right combination. Black eyed peas and cornbread go together. That's the right combination. Is that all right? Sanford and Son go together. That's the right combination. Gladys Knight and the Pip go together. That's the right combination. I tell you, some things just go together. Is that all right? I'm not looking for the wrong thing, Carter, in the right place, but I'm looking for the right thing in the right place. Is that all right? And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Is that all right? And whether you know it or not, America, God has joined a man and a woman together in marriage. I don't care what you say. God has joined a man and a woman together in marriage. Is that all right? And God has joined together faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Is that all right? And God has joined together hearing and doing. Is that all right? He that heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, the floods rose, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded. It was founded. I said it was founded. Lord have mercy. It was founded upon a rock. And God has joined together zeal and knowledge. That's the right combination. When you got zeal and knowledge, you got the right one, baby. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, it's nothing about God. I'm still saying as I close this afternoon that some things go together. And zeal is important. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Is that all right? Zeal is important. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Knowledge is important. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Is that all right? Knowledge is important. When you know knowledge, you can say, I know that my Redeemer lives. Is that all right? Well, Ricky Jeremiah said, let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. And let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. But let him that glory in this, that he understandeth, that knoweth me. For I am the Lord that exercises loving kindness and judgment in the earth. Is that all right? And the prophets, Jeremiah, they knew something about God. Is that all right? Isaiah said, he's a God that can renew your strength. Jeremiah said he's a God that can bring a balm in Gilead, that can heal the sin-sick soul. Is that all right? Daniel said he can take the heat out of fire. Is that all right? Ezekiel said, I can make these dry bones live. Is that all right? Amos said, I'll let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Is that all right? Jonah said, he's the God of the second chance. Hosea said, he's a God of love. Obadiah said, he's a God that can bring the proud down to the ground. Is that all right? Habakkuk said, he's a God that teaches the just shall live by faith. Haggai said, he's a God. Is that all right? He's a God that can make everything all right and challenges us to rise up and build my house. Is that all right? But not only that, Joel said, he's a God of the great and the notable day of the Lord. Is that all right? But I can't stop there. He said 1 minute. But you can't land a plane when it's this high in 1 minute. But I'm closing. Oh, many years ago, I entered this temple called the Bible. I walked down to the Old Testament art gallery where the pictures of Noah, Abraham, and Jacob hung on the wall. I passed into the music room of Swamp Psalm, where the spirit swept the keyboard of nature and brought forth the dirt like well of the weeping prophet Jeremiah. Did it seem that every pipe and reed in God's great organ of nature responded to the tune for harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel? Is that all right? I stepped into the chapel of Ecclesiastes where the voice of the preacher was heard, and into the conservatory of Sharon where the lily of the valley, sweet scented spices, fill and perfume my life. And then I stepped into Proverbs, the business office of Proverbs. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, God is all right. Is that all right? I stepped into the observatory of the prophets. I saw various telescopes of various sizes, but all pointing to the bright and the morning star that would rise above the Judean hills for our salvation. Oh, I stepped into Matthew and I saw a vision of the king for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Is that all right? I stepped into the Acts of the Apostle and I saw the Holy Spirit in the formation of the infant church. Is that all right? I stepped into the correspondence room. I saw Paul, Peter, John, and you sitting, penning their epistle. And I stepped into Revelation. And I saw the king sitting on his throne, Sister John. And I cried, oh, hell, the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the roar diadem. Crown him. Y'all gonna help me crown him? Crown him. Crown him. Crown him. Lord of all. I'm through now. I want to extend the Lord's invitation. I've already stated the plan of salvation. Would you stand? And if you're here tonight, then you know you're in a lost condition. We're asking you, before it's too late. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? Brother Branch tell you the water is ready. Brother Martin is ready to baptize you. Amen. He don't care how cold that water is. And the reason I know he came to my church and baptized somebody, Brother Brown, and that water sure was cold. So if you're here and can be responsive, do so right now as we sing the invitational hymn.
Jesus rose with the power. Yeah.